Praise God. Praise God. Well, we saw that wonderful graphic in the song about the burning bush. And we're going to get there in just a few minutes. But you know this, every single person in the world needs the Word of God. Every person in the world needs the Word of God. And look, here we are. We're finding it. We're finding it right here. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, I think it's 22, he said, for they, his words, God's word, they that find them, that God's word, for he who finds them, it says, finds life. For they are life unto those who, what? Find them. Well, the Word of God is not life to everybody, is it? No. Who is it life to? Those who find them. And here we are. We're digging in. We're getting into this, finding out what the Word of God is about, because there's too much religion in the world that will tell you everything that they think God is, everything that they think is God. Well, he didn't mean that, and he didn't mean this. My brother and I went to a church. When we just got born again, my brother led me to the Lord, and he got born again a few weeks before me. We started going to this little church in Brantford, Connecticut. The year was 1975. And we started going to this church. It was a good year. Good year for me. That's when I left one kingdom and entered into another. But, and they said they were a Bible-believing church. You gotta believe. And, you know, after a while, then my brother and I, we started praying and reading the Bible together and everything. And we got to the point where if the Bible is true, then we should be seeing what they saw in the Bible. And I'm not seeing that here. And in my discussions with them, I found that they were finding every excuse in the world why not to believe the Bible. There's a fundamentalist church. Oh, you got to believe God. And then they talk about Job. Well, if you read the end of Job, it's a great book for faith. Because Job got his whole life straightened out. The blessing of God came in. So if you're going to talk about Job, you got to talk about the last two chapters. And then they talk about Paul's thorn. You got to have faith. And I'm thinking like, yeah, that's what I thought I was here to get. But your faith isn't doing it. Then my brother and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, boy. That Bible under my arm almost exploded my arm right off. And I came and announced to them that morning, hey, I woke up in the speaking in tongues. And it was like the air got sucked right out of the room. Said, God doesn't do that anymore. That's the devil. 24 years I faithfully served the devil. Never once did I speak in tongues. That whole time. I get born again, I wake up speaking in tongues, and now you're telling me that's of the devil. And so you gotta really read what the Bible says. And well, they gave me the left foot of fellowship. And so you can talk in tongues all you want. You're not going to do it here. Can you believe that? I mean, really. That's like the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, going to Pilate for help to crucify Jesus. Right. You go to the oppression, the oppressive government that's ruling you oppressively, and asking them for help to do a job that shouldn't have been done by them. But it all worked out to our good, didn't it? Yes. See, you can't lose being a Christian, being a believer. Praise God. Well, shortly after that, my brother and I were praying. We had this apartment together up in North Haven, Connecticut. And we were praying one day, and I was lying flat on my back on the couch, just praying in tongues and everything. All of a sudden, interpretation started coming, prophecy started coming. And I just kept on with it, you know. And my brother said, later, he said, how do you do that? How did you do that? Because he's speaking in tongues too. There's no reason why he couldn't. I said, how do you know that you're hearing from God? And that, how do you, what's the starting, where do you start on that? You know, as he was saying. And I said, well, I don't know. These words came right out of my mouth without me even thinking about it. I said, I guess you just got to believe that you have already been hearing from him. God speaks to us all the time. He's speaking to us, and a lot of times we don't recognize it because we're not really expecting it. We're not waiting for it. We are not open enough to it. I mean, and understandably too, because he asks us to do things that do not make sense. In other words, if they needed wine at the wedding, go fill the water pots. What does that have to do with wine? Well, it's an act of faith. You're acting on the word. And that's what faith is. It's acting on the word of God. And then Mary, this is the last thing Mary ever said in the Bible, by the way. Whatever he says, do it. So if you have any questions about Mary and her position in heaven, praise God for Mary. But she is not your intercessor. Jesus is. The devil will get you every way, pointing every way but Jesus. That's why he hates the word of God. That's why he tries to rip it out of the schools, out of everything. And by the way, we're praying for our schools on Thursday night, the National Night of Prayer. And I'm gonna let it fly. They know me already. I mean, I don't hold back. I'm a blunt instrument when it comes to these things. Because I love kids. And I love the joy in a kid's heart. And when I see that what they're doing to our children in the public schools, I want to blow them up. I do. Not to hurt anything or anybody. I just want to get the bomb of God in there with the light of truth and blast that darkness out of there. That's what I mean by that. Praise God. Kids, they're a world of discovery. And here the devil is. It's so insidious. Anyway, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. I've learned to turn off my mic when I do that. Believe you have been hearing from him. Believe that you are going to hear from him. Believe that he is talking to you all the time. He is talking all the time. Verse 1. Now, at this point in time, God had said, okay, Moses saw the burning bush. He came by and says, Moses. No, he didn't talk like that. He probably said, Moses. And then Moses, he said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to let my people go because I've heard their cry, the whole thing. He lays it out for him. And Moses answers, said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. What's the first word out of Moses' mouth? But. What does a goat do? But. Suppose. Nothing's even happened yet, and he's already defeated. The two words. But suppose. You know, the devil, that's how the devil approaches you all the time. But suppose, have you considered? Okay, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Now, we don't believe the Lord's here. Why should he appear to you and not to us? Why shouldn't, you know, if he had something to say to me, why wouldn't he just say it? God doesn't work that way a lot of times. Not in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he does, because everybody who's born again has the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, you all may prophesy. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, things are different. The Lord has not appeared. The Lord is not. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? Boy, this is big. Ask yourself that. Say this. What is in my hand?
What is in my hand?
That was 14 of you. What is in my hand? Next time the trial comes along to you, what's in your hand? Next time a question comes to you, it's like, God put somebody in your heart at work to witness to. What if they won't listen to me? What if they slap me in the face? What if it's insulting to them? What do you have in your hand? Now, that represents something. Your hands represent the work of God. They represent a lot of different things in the Bible. You say, what's in your hand? This is what this series is all about. And today we're talking about, the subtitle is, are you talking to me? Do you remember Robert De Niro in that movie long ago? You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking? There's no one else here. You talking to me? He had to talk himself into the fact that they're talking to him. And they're talking about a living person. We're talking about God, who is ever present. You know, what really surprises me is here we are. We are totally, we're born again, absolutely recreated spirit, born into the kingdom of God. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit indwells us and everything. And then we wonder if he's talking to us. Doesn't make sense. Does that make sense to you? Well, let's get with the program. You've been translated into the kingdom of God. We went over that whole last series. Did you like that series? I did too. I'd like to stay there for a while. We've got to move on sometime. And basically, those series are really to open things up to us, get the heart of what he's saying, so that when you do your own personal study, it'll make more sense to you. Excuse me. What's in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. I wouldn't be so willing to do that, would you? If that thing was one of those adders or those puff adders or whatever they have in Africa, or even a cobra. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get faith into Moses. Let me backtrack on that. God doesn't try to do anything. He's not trying to get faith into Moses. He's bringing Moses into faith. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And the Lord continued to say, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. You know, before Moses, many others heard from God. Enoch heard from God. He walked with God. And Enoch was not, because God took him. He just, come here. Come here, Enoch. God wants to fellowship with that. He wants to fellowship with those who want to fellowship with him. He wants those close to him who believe him. Faith is a transforming force in your life, and it will transform you. I've said this before, but if there was a death certificate written about Enoch, it says the cause of death would be excessive faith. Praise God. Enoch. You don't want that to go off. Fire hydrants have a, no, that's not a hydrant, that's what it is.
Extinguisher.
We'll let you know when we need that, Hudson. If we need it. But, I mean, you can go through Hebrews 11, and there was a lot of people that heard from God. And they are enshrined eternally in the holy covenant backed by the blood of Jesus, attested to by angels, empowered by the Holy Spirit. These are the eternal pages enshrined there forever. Samson. Was Samson a moral giant? I don't think so. But he had faith. Was David a moral giant? He failed miserably, didn't he? And what he did was worthy of death on two counts, murder and adultery. Am I getting in your grill here today? Okay. Well, this is a great series so far, huh? You having fun? Okay, let's get down to it. But Moses heard from God. David heard from God before and after his fall. God is a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's a remaker. He's a reconciler. God doesn't, you know, if God dealt with us according to our sin, where would any of us be? This is, where would you be? This is where we got to get honest with God. Because if you're hearing from God, I want you to know that there is a counterfeiter who wants to get in there too. He is the enemy of your soul. He hates you. He wants to kill you. He wants to see you suffer. He wants to torture your soul. There, you will never meet a more evil, more despicable, more sadistic person than the devil. He is ugly with arrogance. I mean, you think Ilhan Omar is ugly with her arrogance and AOC and all that? That's ugly stuff. That is so ugly. Multiply that by infinity, and then he is totally irredeemable. He loves killing people. And if he could, he'd kill everybody. He hates righteous people. He hates the children of God. And that's his number one enemy. So when you come into this, just know this. Everything that you hear in the Spirit from the Lord, go to the Word of God and see if it matches up. And if it doesn't, reject it. There's always something just a little bit off when the devil speaks it to you, just a little bit off. But you got to know the word well enough and get into the word well enough. This is why for they are life. The words of God are life to those who find them. You got to find his word, dig deep, and have it come up on the inside to the place. How can I put this? To the place where when something happens, it's something inside you that reacts. It's the Word of God that jumps to it, stands to attention. That's the inner witness. And you'll know whether you're hearing from God or whether you're hearing from the lower quadrant, the lower quarters. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they heard from God. They still talk with God, talked with them, didn't he? He put clothes on them, skins. Even Cain, after he murdered his little brother, God started talking with him. You know, we have this error of thinking about this big ditch and how God's sin separated us from. No, it separated us from the ability of walking with him. It didn't separate us from him or his love. No created thing, no sin or anything can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. He demonstrated what that love is all about. I mean, think of the people that have heard. Here, you think it's strange hearing voices? Yeah, it is, but strange hearing from God? Go through this list, a categorical list of people who heard from God. That's what this Bible is. They heard from God and wrote it down. You know why? So that you could read it and you could speak it. And it could live for you too. This thing has no time. It has no deadline on it. It doesn't end. And it gets in you, and it gets bigger and 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 bigger, and it gets bigger than you. It gets bigger than your ability to resist it. It gets bigger than your flesh. And then you realize that your flesh is probably your biggest enemy. You ever hear that saying? You're your worst enemy, you know that? Well, okay. You can be sometimes. What do you have in your hand? And today's subtitle is, are you hearing me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking? You're talking to me. That's you, isn't it, Lord? I want to get you to a place where this is normal Christianity. normal Christianity. This is normal Christianity. Turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 10. Start in verse 9. I told you the New King James, and I'm going by the King James. Sorry. Verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on a housetop to pray. These men were sent by Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, who an angel had appeared to, saying, go send for Peter, send men to Joppa to get Peter. And so they left on their journey to go get Peter. And as they were approaching, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, there's a whole lesson right here in being led by the Spirit. When you have a sense that you should pray, get alone and pray. Just do it. This worked out good for Peter. He went on the housetop to pray in the sixth hour. That's noontime to us. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down from heaven. So he saw the sheet come lowered down from heaven. All right, that's cool. Verse 12, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You know, we think of Peter as being this ignorant guy. You know, he's a fisherman. They knew the word. They were educated in it. They knew it. He said, I have never eaten anything like that before. It's not kosher in our language. Now, those are things that are forbidden to eat in the Old Testament. And God's telling him to rise, kill, and eat. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Verse 14. But Peter said, no. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, no, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him a second time, what God has cleansed, call not thou common. This includes you. I shared that with you last week or the week before about Kenneth Hagin when the Lord appeared to him one time and he went down and he touched, put his hands on the top of Jesus' feet and he said, oh Lord, if there's anybody who's not worthy to be here, it's me. And the Lord says, stand up. Get up. He said, my blood made you worthy. Don't call yourself just a Christian or just a man. You're more than that. In fact, you are part of a new race that never existed before Jesus rose from the dead. You're the third kind. And you've had a close encounter with the God kind that made you a third kind. You're no longer. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, if there's strife and envy among you, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? We're called to walk much higher than this. I'll tell you what, we have certain times at home where we just want to start throwing something against the wall. I mean, it is nuts the way God, you know, and God goes, psh, whoa, horse. And this is why the Holy Spirit, because you think you have it tough at times, God goes for the leaders first. He goes for us. And this morning was no picnic. I'm not going to go into it. Just know that. Pray for us. And it's very important that you pray for those who speak into your life, too. Who was it? It was Monse last week after service. She said, you know, when you got that download, that was for me. If you're praying for the people who are speaking into your life, God honors that, and he will speak directly to you through that person. I had no idea. I've gotten word of knowledge before about Monse's baby. And I didn't know it was a word of knowledge. I just started praying. And I, during the prayer, I said, her, she. I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. I didn't even realize I was praying that. And there are people who are used of God who don't even realize they're being used of God. And there are people who are used of the devil who don't really know that they're being used of the devil, like Ananias and Sapphira. That, they were trying to infiltrate the church with an evil agenda, and they didn't even know it. They were just being who they were, and the devil used it. That was a weapon against the church. God had to deal with it severely. Where am I in all of this? 16, thank you, Stephen. See, Stephen has his thumb on the pulse of everything. Aren't you glad for his ministry back there? Isn't he doing a wonderful, amazing job? Praise God, those graphics.
What would we do without
Stephen? I don't know. We did for several years, but it's much better now. Excuse me. Okay. The voice spoke and said a second time, what God has cleansed, call not common. Verse 16. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now Peter doubted in himself. I don't think that word is really the right translation for our modern times here, but wondered would be, yeah, he wondered. He wondered in himself what the vision which he had would mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on these the vision, the Spirit said, behold, there are three men who are seeking you. This is good stuff. This is so detailed. Remember when I talked about people heard from, what about Noah? When God gave him the exact blueprints for the ark, how to build each stall, how much food supply he should put in there, and prices to store the food. What kind of wood to use? I mean, this was so exact, he was hearing from God. Do you know that you have a closer relationship with God as a child than he did? Normal Christianity is not churchianity. While Peter thought on this, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go to them, doubting nothing or wondering nothing, for I have sent them. Peter went down and he followed them to Cornelius' house. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit spoke to him in a vision, verbally spoke to him. Go with the, there's three men who are seeking you. Go with them. Don't wonder about a thing. Don't doubt a thing. In Acts 16, look at this. This is pretty explosive here. Literally, God blew up the jail. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed for him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel there. Therefore, loosing from Troas, and they went to Macedonia. He had a vision in the night. This is another way God speaks to you, through dreams. And there's a guy saying, come on over here and help us in Macedonia. That's where Philippi is. And that's what brought him to Philippi. And that's where they threw him in jail because he cast a demon out of this girl with a spirit of divination. And then the guys that owned her, she was a slave girl, all their profits were gone. She couldn't tell the fortunes of anybody anymore. That's another thing. This is where all this ESPN, they might as well, but ESP, and these psychic networks and so forth, they can tell you things that are true. The demons know stuff about you. In fact, they follow you around with a notepad. They're building a case against you. That's why, that's a whole nother message. This is why it says Jesus gave us some equipment. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. And the thing is, he's trying to get you into a place where you're voicing judgment against people, voicing judgment against others, and you're not qualified to do that. And if he can build a case against you, he's got legal right to bring judgment on you. So just don't do it. Stay away from that mess. He's protecting you when he says, judge not, lest you be judged. But you can judge the demon, because he's already been judged. Satan has already been judged by God, and his time is coming too. Are you getting a little bit out of this so far? Acts 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know not that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. Paul, this is a two-pronged thing. He's given his case, but he's also saying he's trying to get sympathy from the Lord. Lord, you remember, I beat your kid. I killed your kids. I dragged them into prison, and I killed them. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen also was shed, I also was standing by and consenting to his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said to me, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. You notice Jesus didn't even touch the, he didn't even answer, he didn't even address what Paul was talking about. I sinned. I sinned against your children. I sinned against Stephen. And he didn't even pay attention to it. You know why? Paul was talking about something that didn't exist anymore. His sin was already forgotten. It was wiped out. It was gone. Yours is wiped out. And if the blood is strong enough to wipe it out of God's mind, believe me, it should be strong enough to get it out of your mind too. Isn't that right? Got that? God's on your side. And he will not bring it up, and he won't address it when you do. So don't bring it up. If he forgot about it, so should you. Just go on. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on inside of us, and you need spiritual understanding to understand what's going on in the spirit realm, what's going on in your spirit, what is taking place in there. And the thing is, the Word of God is life. You can correct the whole thing just with a diet of the Word. Read a chapter a day. That's all. Can you do that? Can you pray the two prayers in Ephesians once a day? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Whoa! I remember when I got born again, all I wanted to do was know God more. How about you? I want to know. I want to know. Well, Paul gave us a prayer. Pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, so that you can know three other things too. Not only that you know him, but you know the hope that he's called you to, the riches of the glory of the inheritance that's laid up for you, and the power that is always coming to you. You know, if you don't know you have something, you're not going to use it. I told you, if I put $1 million in your checking account and you never bothered to look at the record, you'd still be living like a poor guy. But if you know what you have, and it's not so much that you see it or feel it or understand it. It's the fact that God gave it to you. God made you a new creation. God did. This is not something that man invented. If Jesus never lived, no man could have ever even invented him. And if the Holy Spirit was never given, nobody could invent that either. They couldn't do it. This is so real that you can touch it. And it's because God said it. Period. Mm. Take that, devil. You know what? The devil can't do anything about that. The blood's already shed. The Spirit's already given. The Word's already been distributed throughout the world. And he can't stop it no matter how hard he tries. Praise God. I have a message here I'm getting to. But just talking about it is more funner. Go through the book of Acts for yourself, because my time slipped away here. But go through the book of Acts yourself and underline everywhere that says the Spirit said, an angel said. You know, in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist, he went up to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and they all believed, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And then, after Peter and John came up and started giving them, praying for them to receive the Holy Spirit, when they laid hands on him, Simon the sorcerer saw something. When they received the Spirit, they saw something happen. They saw and heard tongues, prophecy. They saw the miracles of demons coming. Simon saw the effects of God. And then when the evangelist left there and he was on his way down, an angel said, go down to this road. Then he came down to this road and he saw a coach coming along with the eunuch of Queen Candace of Ethiopia was coming by. And God said, go towards that chariot and overtake it. And so he did. He was very explicit about it. And he went up and he heard him reading the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is still speaking today. And he's heard him speaking. He said, hey, you understand that? He said, no, how can I unless I have somebody interpret it for me? Tell me about what is, you know. So he went up and told him about it. And he said, can I do, and he probably brought him right through to water baptism because he said, can I be baptized? There's water right here. And we're by a pond. Ponds are very convenient at times. So hey, there's a pond right. So they went down and were baptized. And as soon as the Ethiopian eunuch came, Philip was gone. God transported him down somewhere else. And he just kept on preaching down there. If you're filled with the Word, God can put you anywhere. He can give you power to do this, power to do that. He will talk to you. He will guide you. But one thing he can't do is guide a parked car. Can he? He's not going to put the key in and turn it. He's not going to steer it. He's not going to put it in gear. He's not going to, no, you need to get in gear and put your foot on the gas and start going forward. Then he can direct you. Does that sound, I mean, I'm being vague here in a way, but because you can apply this to your life how the Holy Spirit wants you to. And he can guide you as to how to apply this. Because he's just like that. But walk with him. Walk with him. Walk with him. You know, God's word is the very thing that translated him into you, and it translates you into him. You got to understand, Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And it's the Father in me. He does the works. Think about that for 5 minutes. Translation is nothing new to God. If I can find it, I want to read something to you here that I wrote down the other day. Oh, yeah. kind of edged into this a little bit before. But we talked about the word is life, but it's not life to everyone. It's life to those who find them. So as we become students of the word and take the time to gather and hear the word, take the time to really find the word and find out what God is saying to you through the word, this is not just any life. This is the life of God that is delivered to you, because the word is God, and if the word dwells in you, guess who's dwelling there with it? Guess whose potential is in there? God's potential, God's ability, God's talent, God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding. Look, it's so powerful. It's all about the word. And that's how he translates us into his kingdom, and it's how he translates himself into us. You know, it says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. And here we are on earth, but we don't have to go to heaven in order to go in the flow of who God is and what he wants us to do. Go in the flow of where his word is directing us. Jesus did all of his work. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He is your guide. He is your teacher. He is the revelator of truth. And he is the manifestation of everything that God is and everything God wants to be in your life. What God did with the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, what God did to Jesus when he raised him from the dead, is what he wants to do in every man. Those prayers weren't just for Paul, they were for us. The word of God wasn't just for a few apostles, it was for all of us who were then and who are now. And who always will, and who will come through us. Praise God. Well, what do you have in your hand? You got a mouth. When it says, what do you have in your hand? It's what has God placed in your authority to do with you, what you would do with it. That's what it's talking about. And we've been given a lot of authority. Well, I hope you got something out of that. Praise God. If you didn't, I did. Oh, crackers. That's a private joke between Lori and me. Praise God. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us understanding, enlightenment. We just thank you for light. Thank you for truth. Lord, before you came into this world, truth was really sparse. It was nowhere as far as we were nowhere. Thank you for coming into our lives. Thank you for making us new, giving us your ability, your power, your strength, your wisdom, clear understanding. Thank you for speaking to us all the time. Thank you, Lord. And through us, may the world know that Christianity is not some just a ceremonious form, but a living revelation of who you are and what you want to do, the intimacy that you want to have with your people. I'm sorry, the intimacy you want to have with your own children. For we call you Father, and you call us your own. In Jesus' name.